Amen. Before we get going into what God is saying, our worship team, they had more songs, but I just felt like the word that Leonie brought and then Carmen building onto that, I felt exactly that's actually what God is going to be doing in us tonight. So we could have worshipped on, but it just feels like right in the spirit to build into what God is saying. But before we do that, I need a couple of volunteers, 5-6 volunteers. Soma, Vian, Mornay, Kobus, Johan, Nigel, 5. I need 5. And he looks like a lung. So I want to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. So for those who don't know what this thing is for, so this is not about to preach. This is just, I just want to thank God. So in this past week, last Sunday, and in the week, we have seen 5 people coming to Jesus. And I really want to celebrate that. So why don't we take 5 ping pong balls, each one, one each, and just drop them over. And then at the end, let's just give God a shout of praise. So let's do 5 balls going over. This is what it's all about. People coming to know Jesus. It's not about just playing church, doing church. It's about people coming to Jesus, getting to know Him. I'm so stoked. One of those balls going over is actually my brother that got saved last Sunday. And the cool thing is, one of the guys last Sunday he recommitted, but you could argue he got saved because who knows. Anyway, it was so cool that last week we preached on hospitality. We started our sermon or our series on hospitality. And I read that scripture we read Matthew 25 last week about Jesus, where he says, if you've given me a glass of water, if you've done this unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And one of the guys that responded last Sunday, early in the day, a lady came to him and asked him for water, and he chased her away. And God used the message, that very thing that the scripture speaks about, that very thing, it's actually the thing that God can. It's just so cool. It's just so cool how God works and how He speaks. So just a testimony of what God is doing. God is busy, and I'm here. I've been trusting for my brother for a while now. He's not here tonight. I would have actually wanted him to stand up, but he's not here. Maybe it's because I wanted him to stand. But it's so incredible how God. Yeah, my brother comes from the same environment as me, a Christian home. He had this girlfriend who comes from not a Christian home at all, like a very unchurched. And I invite them to church. They come to church and she gets saved, coming from an unchurched background. And it's just funny how God, and then it's actually through her getting saved that something draws him in. And yeah, I don't know. I said to someone, if I was God, that's not how I would have written the script, but God, that's why I'm not God. And God is God. Lord, we honor you. We glorify you, Jesus. We pray for more. We ask for more people to come to know you. We pray for more people to come to know you. And I know, God, I know that actually you're going to use this group of people that sit here. Yes, Lord, we've got our issues. We've got our baggage. We've got the stuff in our life that actually we should be running away. But no, God, you use us, broken, messed up people. And you make us, like Leonie said, you are in the business of transforming us. You love us the way we are, but you love us too much to keep us that way. And so you are transforming us, and it's in that transformation that you use us to bring others in. I pray, God, that no one in this room would look at themselves and say, no, God cannot use me, because that's a lie of the devil. No, every single person in this room has at least one talent, the story of the talents, one thing, God. Lord, every single one of us have got at least one salvation in us to bring someone in. But who knows how many more, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So last week, for those that were not here last week, and if you were not here last week, don't worry. It's not like you need to listen to last week's message. I think it's helpful for those that have listened. But last week, we started our preach for the first time in a long time. in Josh Jen, we're not very series orientated. Not that we are against preaching in series, but we just don't do it. So we kind of more a shotgun this week that, and next week that. But I'm enjoying the series aspect. So we are in a busy preaching on hospitality, gasvryheid, for those that struggle with the English. So we are preaching on hospitality, and last week I looked at the gospel, how Jesus coming to the earth is actually an act of hospitality. That we as people, all of us, we were the strangers that God invited us into His home, into His family. We don't deserve it. None of us are in a place where we can say, you know what, actually I'm the hot shot. I'm the superstar. Everyone else, no one is in that place. All of us are invited into His family by grace and grace alone. And so this week I'm going to look at why hospitality is good for you. Why hospitality is good for us. So last week we laid the foundations about the gospel as a message of hospitality. We said last week that hospitality is something we do for Jesus. Jesus said, if you do it for the least of these, you're doing it for me. We said last week that hospitality is faith in action. And then last week we also said that hospitality is one of the ways in which Jesus actually is going to separate the believers from the unbelievers. The real from the fake, if you can say it that way. That those who practice hospitality, Jesus says, you will come into my kingdom forever. And those that seem to not practice hospitality, Jesus says, He's sending them away into eternal punishment. And I'm sure that no one in this room wants eternal punishment. Now, I don't know if you remember, actually, it's something that in my preparation, I was just reminded. I grew up in, just around the corner in Vredekloof. I grew up in a street where there were a lot of children my age. Every day was kind of a day where my parents, they had to call us in. Otherwise, we just played and played and played. And it was a wonderful experience. I remember we had what they call, I don't know, they don't do it anymore, but we had this thing called a straatbraai. Those of you, that was like the best thing ever. It's like highlight of the, in today's culture, we've just grown away from that. I remember houses used to have their stoop in the front. So that when people walk by, but the world has just drifted into an isolation culture. People build their stupa now at the back. People put up high walls, electric fences. They want cameras. It's like we don't even want to be in contact with our neighbor. That's the world that we live in. And that is, this message of hospitality is right smack bang in opposition to the current of this world. And so when we're preaching hospitality, you need to know, you need to remember that this is anti the world. This is anti how the world operates. And so I need to remind you of the definition of hospitality is not Johan, me and Johan, we've got a lot in common. We love sport. And for me, to spend an afternoon with Johan is not effort, because we've got so much in common. Me inviting Johan over to watch the rugby, that is not hospitality. That is just me inviting a friend over. But me inviting someone over that I don't know, me inviting someone over that I don't like is hospitality. Hospitality is inviting strangers into your home. That's the Google definition of it. And so let's get going. We're going to start by reading a portion of scripture from Luke 24, verse 28. It's a long story. I'm sure most of us have read the story. But this is right after Jesus died. And he's not yet, like no one knows, his body was taken away. The people got to the tomb. He wasn't there. And no one knew where Jesus was. And so these two guys, they called on the road to Emmaus. That's a place. These two guys are kind of, they've lost their hope. They've lost, like, they were followers of Jesus. And they just now don't know what life is going to be about because Jesus died and now they've stolen his body and who knows. Anyway, so this is where we pick up the story, Luke 24, verse 28. So they drew near to the... So Jesus joins these two guys on this walk. They are walking. They were in Jerusalem where Jesus died. Jesus was in the tomb. He got raised. They don't know it. They thought somebody stole his body. So they don't know what to do now with their lives. So they are going back to where they came from. But they were followers of Jesus. So, and then on the journey back to where their previous lives were, Jesus joins them on the journey. And that's where we pick up in the story, verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus, he acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" So, hospitality is not the main point of this passage of scripture, but I need you to see that without these two guys being hospitable, I want to suggest that they would have never seen Jesus. I want to tell you tonight that from this passage of scripture, Jesus is sometimes walking next to you and you don't even know it. And Jesus is sometimes walking next to you and he is pretending to be going further. It says here that Jesus pretended to be he pretended to be going on. It's like, bye, see you, never again. Jesus waited for an invitation. Jesus waited for them to invite him in. And I want to say sometimes, if not most of the times, Jesus is in your life, but he's walking alongside you, but he's waiting for an invitation, and it's in the form of people. Remember last week, as you do it for the least of these, you're doing it for me. I want to say that sometimes Jesus is waiting for us to invite him in by inviting people in that we don't know. So the first point of this passage is they didn't recognize Jesus. It wasn't a different Jesus. It was the same Jesus, and his appearance could not have necessarily changed that much. I don't know. I wasn't there. For me, the only difference was his hands. I don't know if they could see that, but his hands would have had holes in them and his feet would have had holes in them because of dying on the cross. But it says in the scripture, we're not going to go there, Luke 24, 16, it says, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I think Jesus meets us more than we can ever imagine during our week. But our eyes are kept from recognizing him. He's waiting for you to invite people into your home. Or rather, Jesus chose not to reveal himself until they invited him in. The second point I want to make from this passage of scripture, and I said it, Jesus is pretending to be going further. Jesus waits for an invitation. And the main point of this passage is not necessarily hospitality, but I want you to see that the revelation of Jesus for these two guys, it hinged on their hospitality. It hinged on them saying, "We're going to invite this guy into our home." And as they do it, as Jesus breaks the bread, suddenly there's a revelation. Suddenly Jesus says, I don't know how he does it, but he's God. He can do whatever he wants. Suddenly when the bread is broken, which is obviously a communion, is a bread breaking bread and is a symbol of communion. As Jesus breaks the bread, suddenly he lifts the scales from their eyes and they see him. And I think we're going to see more of Jesus as we invite the least of these into our homes and we start breaking bread. They're going to start seeing Jesus. We're going to start seeing more of Jesus. Why? I'm going to make tonight, and it's going to be The first point is the one I'm busy with, is the longest. I'm going to make 7 points tonight. And it's like 7 steps to heaven kind of thing. 7 points. 7 points why hospitality is good for you. And the first point that I just made is, it is through hospitality that Jesus reveals himself. It is through hospitality that Jesus... I want you to see also in that scripture, they were discussing among themselves about the scriptures, about Jesus was the Messiah, this hope, he's going to restore everything. He dies, that hope is gone. And I want you to see this, because I believe reading our Bibles is really important. Do you agree with me? But I want you to see that it was not when they read the, when even Jesus was explaining the scriptures to them, it was not in that moment that their eyes were open. It was in the moment when Jesus broke the bread, when they invited him in, that their eyes were opened. I want to tell you that maybe some of us need to hear this tonight, that maybe, I'm not saying we need to stop reading, please don't, if you're hearing that, that's Satan speaking, not me. But some of us need to hear this tonight, that we need to balance our Bible reading with inviting people in. Point number one, why hospitality? Because Jesus reveals himself as we are being hospitable. I want you to, let's look at another scripture in Genesis 18 verse 1 to 5. This goes right back. This theme of hospitality goes right to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 18 verse 1 to 5. And the Lord appeared to him, that's Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, 3 men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "Our Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." Now, I'm not 100% sure, but it seems to me at this moment that Abraham doesn't know the identity of the person in front of him. It says that there were 3 persons. Now, we've got the luxury of knowing that God is the Trinity. And who knows if that... If you continue reading the story, it is clear that God is visiting Abraham. But at this moment, Abraham is looking from afar and he's seeing 3 gentlemen coming to him. And then he says, he's just decided in his heart, "I'm going to be hospitable towards these people." So I want to continue reading Genesis 18 verse 16. Do you have that run? Yes. This is now a little bit later in that same chapter. "Then the men set out from there and they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. And it's, then the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?'" I love that verse 16. Abraham decided, you know, I'm not just going to say goodbye, there you go. No, Abraham walks with them and says, and he makes sure that they are set on their way. That is for me an act of hospitality. And then God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" I want to, this whole passage, you can go read it tomorrow morning, Genesis 18 and even Genesis 19. Through Abraham's hospitality, what happens is God reveals that Sarah is going to be pregnant at the age of, I think, 99 or 90. I can't remember which one it is. And also later, it is through Abraham's act of hospitality that Abraham actually starts to reason with God and says, "God, are you going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah even if there are righteous people living?" The point is, when we are being hospitable, God reveals his purposes to us. So point number one, God reveals himself to us when we are being hospitable. Point number two, God reveals his purposes to us. Now, I don't know about you. So many people, I'm a pastor, so I know this. Many people come, "I don't know what my purpose in life is. I don't know what God has for me." Well, you will find that out as you are being hospitable. As you are being hospitable, God will show you Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 1 to 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Isn't that cool? Anyone here want to have an angel in your house? Well, you know what it's going to take, so I see some of you reluctantly putting your hand up. I would like an angel, but I'm not sure if I want a stranger. Well, the Bible says that as we invite strangers, some of us have entertained angels. The point is, many of us, we're not going to actually know whether it's a person or an angel, but this is what the Bible teaches. And I think this actually is a reference to Abraham's encounter with God. I think Abraham didn't know at first that it was God, but only later he realized, oh my goodness, this is not just, this is God himself revealing and speaking to me, all because he was hospitable. John 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Why do you want to practice hospitality? Because the Bible in Hebrews just encourages us, show hospitality. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Show hospitality to strangers. And Jesus says, if you obey his commands, you will be my friends. Who of you want to be Jesus' friend? Well, be hospitable. Obey his commands. You remember Rahab, the prostitute in the Old Testament? Some of you know, but if you don't know, I'll just quickly tell you the story. Rahab was part of Jericho. Now Jericho we actually had a word about Jericho and the walls. So Rahab was part of Jericho, and God was about to destroy Jericho. And Israel sent out spies to go check out the city of Jericho. Rahab the prostitute, well, she had an interesting occupation, but that's not the reason why she welcomed the spies, because she was a prostitute. That's not what the Bible says. But Rahab the prostitute, not a righteous woman in any ways, she was hospitable to the two spies of Israel. Guess who's the only person from the city of Jericho that gets saved? Rahab. Why? Because she was hospitable towards the people of God. Rahab is included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Why? Because she was hospitable to the people, to two spies from the nation of Israel. I think this theme of hospitality is kind of a big deal to God. I think this thing of hospitality actually breaks down the religious spirit. I remember, funny story, I remember my wife, I said last week, my wife is better at hospitality than me. I think like most women in general are better than men. So, I remember like, my wife likes our place to be, she can hear me, I think, but so I need to say, I need to tread carefully. She loves our place clean and neat when people come over. I'm kind of like, just come over, we'll... So what we used to do in our first apartment that wasn't like big, and like before we had a dishwasher, anyone that can relate to those days, if you don't have a dishwasher, I'll come and pray for you afterwards. Dishwashers are a blessing to the gift of hospitality. Let me tell you. So what we would do is like, and our basin in that, when we lived, there was only one basin, not two, where you can wash and spool. Like it was like you had to wash. I don't know how we did it. Like yeah. Anyway, back in those days, we would put our dirty dishes in the washing machine when people came over. Not wash them in the washing machine, but. But just to hide, and what we just, I don't know why I'm telling you that story, but just, it's just a cool story. Next week we're going to look at we're going to look at the practical side of hospitality. So anyway, it's just a cool story that you can tell someone else. So the third point that I made, the second point is God reveals His purposes to us. The third one was friendship with Jesus. It is in hospitality, it is in inviting strangers in, that we actually are friends of Jesus Christ. Some of us are craving for a deeper relationship with God. I want to tell you, this is going to sound so unspiritual, it's like, spending 3 hours more in your Bible and 3 hours more listening to, you're not going to be more spiritual. If you want to go deeper with God, open your home, invite people in. And anyway. Where was I? Luke 16 verse 9. Luke 16 verse 9. Everyone, do you have that one? Yeah, there we go. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. God has given you a house to live in. Regardless of how big or how small your house is, God has given you money, I hope, a salary, an income, a work. God calls that unrighteous wealth. God says, use it to make friends. The purpose of why you have money, the purpose is so that you can invite people into your life. It's so that you can make friends in this life. And I love the idea of making friends. It's like inviting people that aren't your friends just yet. Why hospitality? It's because hospitality will lead to new friendships. Who doesn't want new and more friendships? I'm so grateful that I've been to Brazil twice. And I've been hosted by people. I've been hosted, and I love this, how we in Josh Jen and 412, when we go on outreach, we don't stay in hotels. When people come to us, we don't book them we stay in each other's homes, because that's what Christianity is all about. It's all about life around the dinner table. Christianity is not about fancy hotels and fancy car. No, it's about in each other's faces, around a meal. Why do you want to practice hospitality? Because you'll have more friends. When 412 is around the corner, we have got a conference, people are coming from all over. Why do you want to host? Because you will get an extra friend. And there will come a day when you'll get to live in their homes, and vice versa. So who doesn't want more friends? Matthew, I skipped one verse. Matthew 25:45-46. Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Why do you want to practice hospitality? Because Jesus said to the inhospitable, you will go into eternal damnation, aka hell. Who wants to go to hell? Okay, who wants to go to heaven? One of the ways you go to heaven is by practicing hospitality. Because that's one of the ways, Matthew 25, you can go read it. That's one of the ways Jesus separates the goats from the sheep. The sheep in this passage, the main characteristic of the sheep is their hospitality. Some of us, like even for me, before this preaching series about, I didn't think hospitality is a big deal. But actually, if you open your Bible, and from the beginning right through, hospitality to God is a really big thing. Every Sunday, we've got visitors coming through those doors. To most of us, if not all of us, they are strangers. We don't know them. We don't know where they come from. It's an act of hospitality if we invite them in. Now, no one knows exactly what's going to happen when we invite them in. We might invite someone in that's a criminal. But I'm open for... I've got no control, absolutely zero control of Who's coming through those doors every Sunday? Visitors wise. And visitors that's here tonight, I'm not saying you're a criminal. I hope not. Just joking. About 2 months ago, we had one of the ladies in our congregation, we had a handbag stolen. Now, to be honest, I don't want someone in my house that's stolen someone else's handbag. But we never know. We don't know who's coming in. The Bible just encourages us, be hospitable towards strangers. That means that we're not going to know whether this person is legit, whether their life is achter mekaar. We're not going to know. So why hospitality? Because we don't want to face eternal damnation. Let's go to Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of me and I will make the nation. So I've made 5 points of why hospitality before. Let's just recap quickly before I make the last 2 points. Through hospitality, number one, Jesus reveals himself. Number two, God reveals his purposes to us. Number three, friendship with Jesus. Number four, friendships in this life. Number five, because we don't want to face eternal hell, eternal fire. Number six, Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possessions. God has given us this beautiful gift called 412, where we are relating as a church. Josh, Jen, we've got friends all over the world. Maybe you don't know that because you've only been part of Josh Jen for a short while. But actually, Josh Jen, we are connected to churches all over the world. We are connected to churches in the Isle of Man, Brazil, Australia, Switzerland, India. And it's growing every single year. God is adding more. We've got friends that we don't even know all over the world. When the 412 conference is around, many of those people actually come to South Africa because this is where it started. They want to be at the South Africa 412 conference. So I want to say to you tonight, the conference is much more about a conference. When God is saying, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage, you actually don't have to go to the nations to have an inheritance in the nations. All you need to do is you need to open your home. When someone from the nations come here and they want to live, they need a place to stay. So why hospitality? Because actually through hospitality, we get an inheritance in the nations. Let's look at one more. Galatians 6 verse 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. For one who sows from his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Say that with me, everyone. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. So why hospitality? Sowing and reaping. Because I promise you, there will come a day in your life where your life will depend on the hospitality of someone else. I promise you. I want to use Rob and Leonie if I may. Leonie, about 2 weeks ago, lost her dad and up in Mossel Bay, that area. They came back exhausted, a lot of, as you can imagine. What did the church do? The church rose. Said we're going to, Rona was at the charge of that, organized meals for a week. And Rob's words to me was, I'm so grateful for the church because we just didn't have the energy to get to that. There will come a day in your life, more than once I believe, where your life will depend on the hospitality of someone else. And so as you have an opportunity now, so that when it's time to reap, you can reap. But don't expect to reap if you've not sowed. Don't expect to receive hospitality if you've not been hospitable. Sowing and reaping. And then one last point. That's actually my seventh point. I realized that. So I know this is kind of like, this is not normally how I preach, like seven steps. But I've given you seven good reasons. 7 good reasons why hospitality is actually very beneficial to you. I think I've given you 7 scriptural reasons why you actually tonight want to go and start practicing hospitality. Now, last week I mentioned, Johan, just using him as an example. Johan is my friend. I said it's not difficult for me to invite Johan. But I want to say that if I can't, and Johan is part of this family, part of this household of faith, if I can't invite Johan over, I've got no hope of inviting any strangers over. So Galatians 6, the last scripture I read, Galatians 6, let's do good to the household of faith, to everyone, but especially to the house. It starts here. For some of us, the person on the other side of the room is actually part of the family, but a stranger. I want to encourage you, let's move to a place where every person in this congregation moves away from being a stranger to being a family member. Because that's the culture that's actually when strangers are actually coming into us, that's how they are going to be part of this family. If we create a culture where actually no one in this congregation is a stranger or a loner or lonely or whatever the word is you want to put in there. Does it make sense? So this is not the kind of preach where you go, let's have a deep moment. I'm thankful last week we had that powerful deep moment. But this is kind of the preach. I'm not going to pray. It's like we pray this in the prayer meeting, but hospitality, it's like, okay, I'm going to pray for you to see more of Jesus. No. That's not how it works. As you are being hospitable, then you will see more of Jesus. So the only way to land this bridge is to tell you, go and be hospitable. So in other words, before you walk out that door tonight, there's someone in this room that you would consider a stranger. Invite them. I know this is like super uncomfortable. But the Bible says, show hospitality to strangers. And actually, we are, like I said, we are a family of believers. And we've got visitors tonight. Visitors, please, you don't have to say yes when someone invites you in. You're not forced to say yes. And I'm not forcing you. I'm just presenting to you a biblical case for why you actually want to do this. You are the one losing out if you just walk out the door tonight and you don't invite someone in. You lose out. No one else. You. Because I think I've presented to you an opportunity from the Bible of why you actually want to do this. Okay, so I am going to pray for us. For the courage. Because it takes courage. It takes courage to open your home. Yeah, Lord, we look to you, God. As the last week we spoke on this gospel of hospitality. We spoke on how you left the comfort of heaven. You left your super king-sized heaven bed and you came to this dirty earth. You were born in a manger. Why did you do it? Because you wanted to bring us into your family. Lord, we know that for us, this is difficult. For some of us, we don't have the personality that like people. But Lord, like Leonie said, God, come and change us. We want to bear the image, not of ourselves, but of Jesus. And Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus, that every Sunday this year, you have sent visitors through those doors. Lord, but I want to, as the elder of this church, I want to repent, God, where actually some of those people, you actually wanted us to invite them into our homes, and we didn't. And now they are somewhere out there today, but they actually should have been here tonight. They should have been loved into this family, but we as a church, we dropped the ball. Lord, I want to repent for that. But Lord, I want to pray, God, actually hospitality is not so much about the openness of our homes, it's about the openness of our hearts. If our hearts are open, our homes will be open. So Lord, right now, I pray where hearts are closed, that's the only thing I'm going to pray for tonight, that where hearts are closed, that you'll open hearts. But then you actually say that you will open our hearts as we invite people in. So it's this double whammy, God. Help us. Give us grace. Give us the courage, God. Give us the boldness to not cower away, to not hide in this, but give us the courage to act upon your word, to be like the man who heard the word and also applied it. Tonight we want to apply the word. We don't want to just hear it. Oh, what a nice, beautiful message on hospitality. Oh, it's a lovely... No, God, we want to be those that apply the word. We want to invite those in. And if we can't invite someone in, we'll invite ourselves over to your place. It's not about the practicality that's so important. It's the heart that's open that says, I want to build relationship with people. Help us, Jesus. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've finished and it's way early.